Welcome to Cinema Savants. I'm Rob Steele. That's Todd Vandenberg. And because he made a New Year's resolution to be in at least three shows and thought he'd go ahead and get one out of the way, that's Lee Vowell.
That's right. It the happens. First of three this year.
First of three.
Let's get that straight. Yeah, 2019.
Wow. Actually, I wanted to start with a question, and Lee, you can feel free to jump in on this. Todd, one of the last movies you reviewed on this show was Izzy Gets the F Across Town. And I was thinking, yes. Wouldn't that make a great Sesame Street skit to have a Muppet named Izzy carrying a letter F just across the background of every skit in a Sesame Street episode?
I'm shocked they haven't done it already.
Maybe it's
in the murders.
I think it would be great. It'd be brilliant. Anyway, we're starting with Muppets because some Dark Crystal prequel news has come out. Mainly the cast, which is apparently enormous. The main character, now I'm going to actually do a bit of journalistic editing in my head. Or I guess criticizing, not editing. I can't edit their website. But where I first found this cast, they kind of screwed it up a little bit because they said the main character is being played by Taron Egerton, who's portraying Elton John. And I went, Elton John is a Gelfling. What? When did that happen? Anyway, Taron Egerton, Anna Taylor-Joy, Natalie Emanuel are playing the three main characters. They're going to be joined by Helena Bonham Carter, Natalie Dormer, Alicia Vikander. Bear with me. I'm going to mispronounce this one. Gugu Mbatha-Raw, I guess. Harvey Fierstein, Mark Hamill, Simon Pegg, Eddie Izzard, Andy Samberg, Keenan Michael Key, and probably a lot more people that I don't know yet. Now, I compared that cast list to the original Dark Crystal, which had Frank Oz, Jim Henson, and a bunch of people I've never heard of since. Just on the cast, I think they're getting a good start. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think if you combine that cast and the cast of the recent Watership Down adaptation, everybody who has a SAG card is employed. Man, that's crazy. I mean, that's a great cast.
It is, because I think all the people that are involved actually would do good voice work. I'm a fan of Eddie Izzard, and obviously he can do a lot of different things. But that's the thing that we know Mark Hamill can do a lot of great voice work. So that's the thing that excites me about the cast, I guess, is that at least they're not just throwing big names in there because they're big names. They're people who actually probably can do the job and make the movie good.
Actually, here's two more names to throw in because they're buried farther down in this article. Toby Jones and Mark Strong.
Wow. Two more great.
And those are just like voices.
Really strong. Voice actor work, exactly. I hope Harvey Fierstein plays like a swamp or something, personally. I mean, that would be an amazing voice that he has. So, yeah, I mean, just like you said, that's a really strong voice acting cast, not just a strong cast. That's awesome.
And this is a 10-episode prequel series coming to Netflix, allegedly, this year, he says, being 2019 now. Something that came to Netflix just before the crossover into 2019 was Avengers Infinity War. I tied them together because they're both on Netflix. Did you see the problem they had with describing the description of the show? Because this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
People had a hissy fit because they described Thanos, the villain of the Avengers movie, as an intergalactic sociopath. And a lot of people went, no, he's a psychopath. No, he's a sociopath. Less filling, taste great, over Thanos, who's not even real. Come on.
Yeah, it was a bit much for people to get in a tizzy over this. So at least they weren't blindfolding themselves and trying to drive. So, or the same people, I don't know.
Yeah, they blindfolded themselves and went to vote. I think that count. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, wrong show. Yeah, that's just ridiculous. But more news out of Netflix, because they're everywhere. The new Netflix series Punisher Season 2 is coming on January 18th. Finally got a release date. Yay for them. But that goes right into the Netflix survey. I don't know if you guys saw this. It kind of came and went very quickly. And it should have stayed a little longer because they're not done with this particular issue yet. A survey went out to some Netflix subscribers, and people took pictures of it, and it circulated on the net. And one of the opinions they were asked about were the cancellations of the Marvel superhero series Iron Fist, Luke Cage, Daredevil, and Jessica Jones.
Oh, really?
To which all the Jessica Jones people went, we haven't even aired the next season yet. We're done. What do you mean canceled?
Yeah, since when did they officially cancel Jessica Jones?
They
haven't. Hilarious. Right. We knew they're going to, but okay. So Punisher will be canceled. When will they announce that? January 20th?
February 3rd.
Jessica Jones, they've already let the cat out of the bag. It's like, yay. Wow. Good job, Netflix.
Well done. Is that a sociopathic act or a psychopathic act? I'm not sure. Masochistic something? I don't know. Anyway, speaking of other things that are going to end, and this one is kind of sad because I enjoyed the show Elementary, but they announced that the that season 7, which is coming back and we're not sure when yet, it's going to not only be a short 13 episode season, it's also going to be the last one, which is not surprising because they gave it the time slot of death last year, which they did after football games on Sunday, because no one at CBS has a clock and can figure out how long a football game is going to last. And it throws all the DVRs off. The game ran 20 minutes long, so we'll start the show 20 minutes later, and you know, my DVR will go up until 10 o'clock where they go, and the murderer is, we've run out of show.
You can always do an extender on the DVR, though.
Yeah, but I'm usually set the DVR to record because I'm not home. I didn't know the game ran long.
It'll give you that option. Like I mentioned before we started talking today, I said something about frequency, like I was in still on AM radio, which is what I have an 8-track in my car. So, I'm as bad at this as you are. But I learned watching Seahawks games this year. It's like, oh, there's an extender thing. Oh, wow. Who knew? Wow. Hmm. So, anyway.
Yeah. Safest thing is to extend it for like 3 hours because I've done that with fights. Oh, good. It went over. It's like it's not supposed to because they're in a very fixed time slot. But occasionally they still go over, which is fun when you're in the third round of a 3-round fight and, oh, it's gone. And you don't know what the hell happened. So the thing is, oh man, the murderer is.
That's my thing. And it drove me. There's an episode of Murder, She Wrote. I'm going back a bit for this. I realize that.
Well, I just mentioned AM radio. So you're good.
Same category. No, there's one episode of Murder, She Wrote where I actually didn't figure out who did it in the second act. And this episode, I have watched it, I think, 5 times. But I still don't know who did it because I get up to like the last 10 minutes and the power goes out. No, say round 2, the cable goes out. Round 3, it's interrupted by a weather warning that's coming. I'm like, it's summertime. What winter weather warning test system? No, I want to know who fucking killed the guy in this episode.
And if you'll tell us which episode it is, I think Lee and I will chip in and we'll get that for you for your birthday.
I don't know which episode it's called. They didn't have names of the episodes at the time. They do now. I'm going to have to watch the entire friggin' series to find out where it is. And I'm behind on movies for this show, as we'll find out when we get to the review show on Friday. Just saying. Believe it or not. Oh, look, that's a segue. Bruce Campbell has a new TV show, which is called Ripley's Believe It or Not. He's the new host of the show that... When did that start? That was back in the 80s, too, wasn't it? The Ripley's Believe It or Not show?
I believe you're correct, yes. Early in the 80s, I believe.
Yeah. Well, it's coming back. And it's being hosted by Bruce Campbell. Any comments?
I think that's a perfect host. That's hilarious.
Yeah,
me too.
Yeah.
People will watch it just for him.
I was actually Ash in a movie. Oh, we don't believe you. Click. No.
he's an extremely funny guy. As a very brief aside, Lee, did you meet him when he was doing his book tour?
I did not, actually.
Yeah, he was at, it might be when you were in the Carolinas. Yeah, he was in Barnes & Noble. I actually can't remember if it was Barnes & Noble or Books of Mine. One of them damn bookstores. He was very, very funny.
So, Borders. It's probably Borders.
Yeah. No, it wasn't Borders because I didn't work there. But yeah, he was a very funny, gracious dude, which is no surprise at all. But anyway.
I wish it was Gary Busey who was hosting, but Bruce Campbell.
Believe it or not, Gary Busey is alive. So
you spoiled their first thing.
Now there's no reason to tune in.
Dude. Oh, anyway, I had a couple trailers hit that have been long looked forward to, I suppose, until one of them was seen. Hellboy 3. We'll start with that one because I liked Hellboy 1 and 2, and I knew they were changing the cast for 3, and then I saw the trailer for 3 and went, what the hell is this? It doesn't I realize it's probably closer to the books, and I apologize because that is one of my pet peeves, that if you're going to do something based on a book, it should be like the book. And I'm told it is. But I didn't realize the books were that crap. Is that just me? It could just be me.
Well, I did see the trailer, and I saw it before whatever movie I saw recently. Oh, Aquaman. And the person I went with said that she had read the books, and she actually likes the books. Her name is Donna. And she likes the books, and she thought this trailer for this upcoming movie, actually, she liked a lot because of that fact. It was closer to the books. She thought it looked really good. She's seen the first two, but she was really more excited about this third possibility than she was about the first two movies.
Okay. That's a this is all a personal opinion thing, and mine is I didn't care for it, but yeah.
The only opinion that matters in this country, sir, is the president's, okay? The rest of us are just ashes.
He built a wall.
Going back to Bruce Campbell. He's trying to build a
wall. Out of Legos. And said,
if it wasn't for the Pinkos, we'd already have that wall.
Oh, isn't that the color of Hellboy? Kind of a... Anyway.
Well, yeah, that's kind of why I threw it in there, yeah.
Kind of a brick pink.
Brick pink, is that a thing?
You ever watch My Little Pony? That's a thing.
I have not, sir.
You've got kids. Anyway, the other trailer that hit, Men in Black International, which I thought, would have more foreign languages in it, but it doesn't. It kind of looks fun. I'm wondering if it could have been done without using the Men in Black stuff and just said, hey, here's another thing that's like Men in Black, but we don't need the name to go with it. Would it have sold as well?
Yeah, but then they're not part of an established franchise, and if it's worth anything at all, let's put it this way, if the trailer's funny, then... Oh, Man in Black. Cool. And it's been long enough since people will probably forget. Oh, yeah. It's supposed to have Will Smith in it. So.
Who?
Yeah. Lately. Remember when every summer was Big Willie time? And I'm talking about Will Smith, not, your own weird person.
Yep. Every 4th of July.
He did something that wasn't too bright recently. But I can't remember what it was.
That's a long time ago now.
That's my pun for the episode. Speaking of Big Willie not being in... the big summer blockbuster, I suppose. Disney announced, whoever they are, they at Disney, announced they're rebooting the Pirates of the Caribbean film without Johnny Depp as Captain Jack Sparrow, which is kind of like saying, we're going to remake the Hobbit movie without any hobbits, dwarves, elves, orcs, goblins, dragons. It's just going to be a picture of this ring for a couple hours.
Question: Did they not see the box office performance of Solo?
Some of them, that's a different department of Disney, and they don't do interdepartment talking.
Apparently, they don't, because they just gave themselves a prime example of what happens when you take a franchise character and take the actor out of the franchise, who was the franchise. I mean, not for all of Star Wars, of course, but for that character. And again, what did it make? $560 million or something? Or it's hardly a flop. Other than their expectations. And I, regardless of who they put in the role, plus, really? You can reboot it now? I mean,
we just had the fifth one.
Yeah, which wasn't bad, actually.
No, actually.
And it wasn't bad because of Johnny Depp. Johnny Depp's been the only good thing about all five films, to me. I mean, the first one was fun, but then you take Johnny Depp out of the other two and three, it's like, you just got a whole bunch of mannequins standing around. I mean, what's the point of the film?
I liked his second-in-command guy, whose name has escaped me. The actor is gone, but I liked him, too. The rest of them, no.
Even Stellan Skarsgård's in it, and I love him as an actor, but he has nothing to do in those films. And so, I mean, it was almost like when they made that first one, and Johnny Depp showed up, and he was doing the mannerisms that he does, and Keira Knightley was like, oh, we're not really sure what he's doing. And then they realized, oh, this is going to make the movie. And then you take that away from the movie. It's like, not really sure what the point is.
Yeah, exactly. Makes no sense. I mean, because he is the movie in all those cases. And so it's like, wow. And again, geez, let the corpse cool a little bit, will you? I mean, that just makes no sense. As if Disney is starving for properties to make money. That's what really is crazy. He's like, what the hell?
Yeah. Who says it had to make sense? It's Disney. Oh, by the way, have you seen the petition against Disney that came from Africa?
I think you meant partition, like the wall.
Oh, yeah. No. Oh, imagine building that. Jeez. What do you mean there's water in the way? Anyway.
That's right.
The what is it, 117,000 people signed a petition created by Zimbabwean activist Shelton, boy, I wish you had more vowels in your last name, Mapala, maybe. Again, apologies if I mispronounce any names ever. They're trying to get the phrase Hakuna Matata away from Disney, not because Disney doesn't need it for The Lion King or anything, but because they trademarked it. And the complaint is that that's like someone in China going to the U.S. and trademarking the phrase, dude. I said, don't do that. It's our phrase. Give it back. And Disney saying, no, you're just blowing it out of proportion. Except they say they're not, and there's an argument. Do you guys have any comments on this?
I think Disney probably has more money than all the African countries combined. So as far as that goes, Disney probably would win this.
Unfortunately.
And I think you're right, but on the flip side, go ahead and use it all you want and force Disney to sue you for it and then see what the courts say. I mean, to me, it's like, don't sign a petition. Just use it, you know, and put it to the test. See if they're going to, you know, demand the rights to the trademark of a phrase which has probably been around for thousands of years, long before Disney. Like,
and Disney's been around for that, feels like it's been around for that long.
Hey, can we take a quick break? I'm trademarking G'day Mate and about to sue Australia. So if we could take just a 2-minute break.
Oh, yes, yes.
A second. Done. No, thanks.
Yeah. I'll play the Jeopardy theme we don't have the rights to either.
Did you go to lawyerup.com? That's the site.
I'm sure that's a thing, and if not, it will be by the end of the show.
Oh, my God. Register it now. Yeah. All right.
Okay, so segment that I think Todd brought this up, and I thought it was a good idea. Until I tried figuring it out. wow, the most underappreciated movie of 2018. We should probably do something like that, he said. And I said, that's a good idea. And I looked up some websites of movies that were already considered underappreciated. And I ended up on a website called Ranker, which did the top 95 underappreciated movies. And I have seen none of them and only heard of maybe six.
That's an excellent list. I saw a few more of those than you did. Not many more, but yeah.
Yeah, you win. do you remember, it wasn't that long ago when, you know, 95 movies, that'd be a whole decade. But
seems so.
And now we've got 95 movies that came out last year that I've never even heard of.
You know, that said, I will, you know, back in the 20s and 30s, there were a bunch more movies made than what we see now. I mean, there were hundreds of movies made every year.
There probably
so. I mean, nowadays, everybody can make a movie. You know, you film it on your phone, and bam, I'm surprised we don't have thousands of movies every year.
It just feels like, you know, back in the 20s, they only had the one camera and had to pass it around between all the studios.
Single camera shows.
Yeah, that's...
Literally. Yeah, and part of it, to stay on that, is like a lot of it is... movies were a little cheaper back then, too.
Everything was cheaper back then.
Yeah. Of course. So
that's where Donald Trump got his hair, was back then. That's why it looks the way it does. I'm sorry. Anyway, so what are you guys underappreciated movies of 2018?
Well, I have three, and I've talked about two before.
Lee, do you have three, or did you not do your homework?
I did. I have two.
Oh, well, it'll do.
There you go. Well, I'll start with one that I had talked about before, and it's one Rob mentioned already. Izzy Gets the F Across Town. It's not this movie. Of the year, but I thought it was really, really good. It's criminally underappreciated. Mackenzie Davis is awesome. She's the lead. She's awesome in it. And again, like I talked about when I reviewed it before, I mean, there's a sequence in there where there's a song and it's beautifully done and there's beautiful acting going on during the song. Terrific. Absolutely terrific part of cinema. That sequence is maybe one of the best scenes. No, it is one of the best scenes of the year, no doubt. Really good movie, and I think like 9 people saw it. So Izzy Gets the F Across Town, and you may see it listed as the full word for F, and it's not fondle or fun or whatever. So really good movie.
What do you got? I'm going to do all three of mine together.
So yeah,
what do you got, Lee? Okay, well, in that case, Todd, finish yours.
Yes.
Well, in that case, I'll finish up with one I haven't mentioned before. Sorry to Bother You. Boots Riley, first-time director, got a lot more notoriety for calling out Spike Lee for Black KKK Klansman than he did for his own movie, which is sad because Sorry to Bother You is a really great bizarre comedy commentary on society today. about a black telemarketer who learns the secret is to act white. And it goes very, very far from there into like really deep, weird science fiction territory. Also has Armie Hammer in a supporting role. First time I've ever seen him in anything where I liked his work, including The Social Network. So I was really surprised. It's like, oh, look, he's actually good in this.
He was good in Call Me By Your Name.
And I haven't gotten around to see that yet. Oh, so. Right, gotcha. And and I didn't even watch that. But again, it's just only so much time. But Lakeith Stanfield is the star. He's fantastic. He's great. Again, it's a weird science fiction drama comedy thing, so doesn't really fit any category or fits them all. Sorry to Bother You. Great. And my last one, talked about on the show before, is Prodigy. And I guarantee you hardly anybody has seen that film, and that's a crime. Awesome, weird, psychological drama, a little bit of science fiction thrown in. And we even had the great pleasure of having one of the directors, Alex Howey, on the show, and he was awesome. It was a terrific interview with him. So Prodigy, not to be confused with The Prodigy. Look for Prodigy. It's actually on Netflix now as well.
Or The Band, which...
Or The Band, exactly.
Just in case. Actually, that's also on my list. With the other two movies, and I'm just lumping these together, the new version of Tomb Raider and Rampage, not because they're both based on video games. No. I think all three of these are... They're not Oscar award winning. They're not Golden Globe nominated. They're not going to win, BAFTAs or maybe MTV Music. All three of these, I think, are really good, fun movies. You'll enjoy watching them. You're not going to finish it and go, why did I do that? You'll finish it and go, I've forgotten most of the movie already, but I had fun forgetting it in some of them. Prodigy, you'll remember a bit better than Tomb Raider and Rampage, which are... more lighthearted and everything. But I think all three of these films are probably not going to get, you know, mainstream attention that a blockbuster would. But I think all three are going to end up having cult status. And you're going to be seeing them probably for the rest of our lives. Well, maybe not Todd. But,
yeah, that's the other way.
It's the other way around, isn't it? Anyway.
Yeah, that's the other way. Definitely. Rest of my life, because that could be weeks. I mean, hell.
Oh, well, yeah. Anyway, they're going to get put in the same category as like Buckaroo Banzai and Big Trouble in Little China, in that they're good movies. They're fun. You're going to want to watch them when they come on TV again and again, or maybe, you know, get the DVD to have it on a shelf and every so often go, you know what? I think I'll watch that. I think that's where they're going to be. So, you know, Tomb Raider, Prodigy, and Rampage, my three underappreciated movies of the year. Lee,
yeah,
tag.
Yeah, I actually saw Rampage and it was good. Actually, I saw it at the theater. Either way, I did see it and it was good. Because just like what you said, it was fun. And it wasn't meant to be anything other than what it was. The two movies I have, actually Todd has reviewed one of them. I did see First Reformed because I'm a huge Ethan Hawke fan. And the other one is called The Favorite. And both of these films are probably going to win awards from, you know, people who watch films as far as critically speaking, but really as far as people going out and seeing these films, you know, we get caught up in films that are just like Aquaman, which are you know, fluff, and these films are both worthy of people watching, masses of people watching. Of course, First Reformed is not going to be a fun movie to watch for a lot of people, but the acting alone makes it worthy. And the same thing with The Favorite, really. I think the thing that holds The Favorite back is it has three female leads, and the male characters are in the movie are really not that important. It's really just Olivia Colman, Emma Stone, and Rachel Weisz carrying the movie, especially Emma Stone, who's phenomenal in it. And again, both of these films are probably going to win some awards. Hopefully they will. They're worthy of it. And just more people need to go out and watch these kind of films, because if people see these films, more films like this will be made. And that's what we need, really. Instead of the fluff films, we need quality films.
Fluff is good, but yes, quality is also kind of a requirement at some point.
As long as you have a some kind of a balance instead of just all fluff, and then, you know, oh, here's some other films that will win awards, but people will not see them.
You know, and when Rob and I did the show last week, because, again, Lee wasn't here, you know, we talked about, you know, our favorite films of the year and different lists from what this is, and Rob had mentioned it didn't seem like it was a year that there was a great movie, but man, there sure were a lot of really, really good or maybe close to great movies. And to me, this points it out again. It was really a phenomenal year overall for movies, because there were so many really good movies. I mean, there were a lot of movies like, you know, Aquaman, it's fluff, but it's fun. It does what it's supposed to do, like Rampage. And I really liked Rampage, too. And yet you also have really deep, serious films, too, like First Reformed, that have a lot to say. Maybe not fun to watch, but they're important. It's important that they be seen. So it was a great year for movies. Absolutely.
I'm going to call it last 2018, as far as movies go, and this just now occurred to me, kind of like Star Trek, the original series, in that there were a bunch of really good episodes, and then there was a lot of kind of crap episodes at the same time. Because, you know, we'll have the movies we remember, like Rampage or the Avengers movie or Black Panther and the Black Klansman movie. You know, lots of movies that are going to be around for a while. And then a bunch of crap movies like Happy Time Murders, which to me I'm equating to the original Star Trek, oh, look, it's a Planet of Nazis episode. You know, or the Planet of Gangsters or something. You go, oh, didn't need that.
Yeah, every year certainly has its share of crap movies. I mean, Adam Sandler is still working, so, you know, at least every other year, it's going to be at least one got off.
That's true. Anyway, one of the movies that came out last year, toward the end, and it's just coming out now, that there were going to be some alternative endings to the Predator movie. I don't know if you guys saw these or not. There was an original plan where Arnold Schwarzenegger's character from the first one would be coming back. Didn't happen. Yay. one of them, and there's even a picture of this, where they filmed in the Predator ship, there was a stasis chamber in the background. And in the stasis chamber is a female character in kind of a drab green overall thing with a name tag that said Ripley and a face mask on that looked like a face hugger, only it was over on top of the face hugger thing. And I was trying to figure out, this movie took place in 2018, allegedly. Ripley didn't exist for another couple hundred years. What the hell is she doing in this ship? Anyway, thought it. They didn't use it. That's a thankful for that, I guess. Yes. Didn't make sense, though.
We didn't need to throw her into the quantum vortex with Ant-Man and all that other stuff.
So, anyway, that's all we've got for this week, because it was New Year's and a lot of people didn't go to work yet, like me. So there, haha. Anyway, we'll be back next week with more movie news and on Friday with movie reviews. Until then, you should probably get out and go see a movie.
Captain, we're losing power in the warp engines.
I think we should be leaving now.
I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife.
And on that unusually harmonious bombshell, it is time to end.
I am very disappointed!
Man, we have a weird job.
It's shameful, but it's a living.
And like that, he's gone.
Hey, who turned out the lights?